Hi,
this is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. Today we have a discussion Carol and I will be doing. It's a bad news, good news. We'll start out with the bad news and we'll continue with the good news. And we're hoping to spark discussion. We're hoping that you respond and send us emails and comments on our Facebook page in response to this discussion. So
we better say the Facebook page.
Okay, can you do that, Carol? So welcome, Carol.
Thank you. I want to make sure everybody actually gets the name of the Facebook page. So it's Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol.
Oh, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, so please message us there with your comments and let us know what you'd like to hear about. And if you know somebody that would be a great interview for us, please just send us your comments.
But also, comment on this show. This is an important one, and you'll understand why shortly. What we're going to be talking about is testosterone, and we're talking about this precipitate drop that has been happening since we first discovered how to measure testosterone levels in the 50s, and when we started measuring them or numbers in the 60s, and have had this drop in both testosterone and in sperm. When I started this radio program over 22 years ago, now it seems to be adding up, we had an interview with a Dr. Edward Licton, and he was an OBGYN.
Yes.
And he was treating diabetes with testosterone injections and metering dose in males and females, which was really quite unique and shocking at the time. But he also said something really important. He said, you know, the testosterone has dropped 50%. Now, this is 22 years ago, has dropped 50% since we started measuring it. Okay. So physical number of volume of testosterone that males were making has dropped 50% 22 years ago. He said, but that's not really the problem. The problem is the diminishing sperm count. And it is going down. At that point, it was 30% of what it had been when we first learned to measure it. Now, recently, actually, just a couple weeks ago, I heard a statistic, and the statistic was that by 2035, the males, not just Americans, this is worldwide, will stop in their sperm count, will then have about 2% of the volume of sperm that their grandfathers had. And that would then be low fertility level. And what we're seeing right now, what I'm seeing in my office, is men coming, young men, and I measure their testosterone level, significantly low, 400s in the 500s. When I was test measured at 40 to 200, those were the you could be. And when you got 450 or lower, we instructed that we had to find a cause, that there was something, there was a problem there, and it had to be, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now the range is in the 280 to, depending on which lab, 280 to 780 is the range. But look at how it has shifted lower and lower, and it is allowing 450 and 300 to still be normal. And what are we seeing? What are we seeing in males? What are we seeing in ourselves, in our energy, in our focus? So, Carol, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put you on the hot spot. What are we going to see? What do we see in all people, but particularly in males, but also in females, when their testosterone is low? What are the symptoms of something like that?
Okay, so the underlying principle is testosterone is in charge of all protein metabolism in your body. So it's directing the manufacture of everything for your existence, your muscles, your bones, your immune system, proteins. They're all proteins. We have protein hormones such as thyroid and epinephrine and norepinephrine. All these hormones are made out of protein. So testosterone plays a role.
Enzymes.
Enzymes
are protein.
Absolutely. Every single one of them. So I'd like for you to picture a little old man or a little old lady. And this little old man has, or lady, has lost muscle mass, has shrunken in size, bones are brittle, hair cannot be grown, it's either missing or very, very wisp. Skin does not get good circulation, the skin is thinned and really easy to bruise. All these things.
Loose
is, yeah, you simply cannot keep up your body metabolism without the presence of enough testosterone. We often think about this in a sexual way, and certainly it is. And men and women without enough testosterone will have great difficulty in their sexual relationships one way or the other. So not only physically, but the mental part of sexual interest. So testosterone is also playing a role as a neurosteroid in the brain. So it's functionally, and it's also part of the hormonal picture. I was just going to say, it's so massively important. We can't think of testosterone as just a sex hormone. We need to think of it in terms of our whole body health.
What happens is when testosterone is low in males and or females, that vim, that vigor, that ability to approach challenges just dissipates. A challenge becomes an overwhelm. Testosterone is what they call it in Chinese yang, or the ability to reach out to the world and take hold. It also has to do, when testosterone is low, you find lower not only IQ levels, but ability to answer questions in a timely manner. When testosterone is high and a question is asked, very often the answer comes fast and sharp. When they measure leaders, world leaders, and they measure their testosterone levels, it's generally in the high normal. It's a higher level of testosterone than people who are just daily functioning. And one of the reasons why they're the leaders is because they have a higher level of this yang hormone that tells them, reaches out and gives them confidence and allows them to move. So, the question is, should we just start giving testosterone to everyone? I don't think that's the answer. I think that's really the wrong answer. First of all, it suppresses, in young men, it suppresses their ability to make testosterone. So we really don't want to give testosterone. We want to support the body so it makes testosterone. In older men, it might be a good idea to give testosterone so they feel better. And in women, it can also be a very good idea to give testosterone. Their tissue stays more pliable, more moist. We see that. It's interesting because we see it vaginally, but when people have very dry eyes, one of the treatments is to get testosterone and get a little makeup brush and paint it on the top of the eyelid. And the mucous membrane thickens, and there is then more moisture in the eye. You haven't put the testosterone in the eye, you just put it in the eyelid like you're putting a eye cream on above and below the eye. And I have had people that suffer with dry eyes. And this problem resolves rapidly within a couple of weeks when you're using testosterone on the tissue.
It's amazing. I think we should talk about some of the things that affect how you make testosterone and how we can make sure we get rid of barriers. And I want to bring up one barrier because we have a social political milieu right now that has us creating a lot of cortisol, the stress hormone. And one thing that is clearly known is the higher the cortisol level, the more you shut down testosterone production. So stress is a huge issue. And if it's chronic and unrelenting, then it becomes very, very difficult to have adequate testosterone levels. So I'm wondering, some of the data we were looking at would show that the youngest men have actually the lowest testosterone levels in this day and age. We're looking at 20 to 30, 30 to 40. And actually, the older men were doing better in the testosterone arena, which surprised everybody, but maybe not so surprising because we're being exposed to this unrelenting daily stress that our media presents and our politics presents. So I believe, even though some of these studies were done earlier, that we have a situation right now that is even bigger threat to our ability to make testosterone. So one of the things basically to know is that stress can decrease testosterone. Once you know that and can take a position outside your stress and look at it objectively, you begin to have the means to look at what is disturbing you outside of the emotional burden of it and start looking at what is triggering you. Get rid of the triggers. Get rid of the source of the stress if you can would be a major way to increase your ability to make testosterone.
Well, there's two sides to this story, Carol, and both of them lead to cortisol. And what happens is when the testosterone is low and a challenge is put before you, it becomes stress because you're really and truly not capable physically, emotionally, psychologically of dealing with the challenge.
Right.
Yes. And when the cortisol is high and people are given a challenge, it's a challenge. And they work and they create it. And guess what? That brings up testosterone. It's similar to if someone told me I'm going to have to run a marathon. That would be unbelievable stress for me. I couldn't do it. But if you give it to an athlete, oh my goodness, it's a challenge and it's exciting. So to a degree, stress is very relative. It can be energizing or it can be suppressive. And we have to create situations in our mind that restructure what we're dealing with and create challenges rather than become mountains that we're carrying on our back. But there's a couple other things. You know, I look up low testosterone, and this is like a mantra, and it angers me.
Now, low testosterone is a mantra?
No. Why do we have low testosterone? Oh, because of stress, because of bad eating habits, and then they throw in because of toxins.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello, yep.
Hello? Are we walking around the elephant in the room? I think we are. One of the worst things that can happen to all of our hormones, testosterone included, is pesticides. It doesn't get worse than that. It's this constant physical bombardment of pesticides, and we have to look at it. We have to look at how we're accumulating heavy metals. We have to look at our foods. I went to a brand new store this week that just opened in my neighborhood. It's straight garbage. It's all prepared foods. It's horrible. So you go there to get some foods. The vegetables look like they should be going into the compost pile. So you go over to the other frozen, and there are all these prepared foods. And what are they prepared with? They're prepared with chemicals and sugars and flour. And we're supposed mm-hmm. to eat those that garbage and be healthy. So, and more than that, and they're not organic. So I think that mothers, women who love males, males who love themselves, I think we really have to not think. I challenge you to start looking very aggressively at organic and non-organic. And there are a few reasons why. And one reason is that we know that the pesticide that they use, the GMO that they use in corn, blocks the body's ability to make sperm. And it's lowering testosterone count. It's called BT corn. And they never register it. But what we have to do is start looking at this. We know that the sprays that they're putting all over our food, and they're spraying them right after they pick them, or right as they're picking, they're spraying. So it's a direct, fresh infusion of pesticides on the food. We know that these are estrogenic. So now,
I love this picture I sometimes see on Facebook. They'll have the old-time farmer. He's got a rickety old tractor, and it's a nice sunny day. And he's riding through his fields doing whatever he's doing, and he's happy. And the modern farmer is there in a hazmat suit spraying stuff all over the place. What a contrast in lifestyle. And why are we putting chemicals on our food? Why is this even acceptable at all? So you have a huge point. We need to all make a big effort to buy organic, because we'll have a little bit more understanding about how that crop has been raised, and hopefully minimize the exposure to chemicals. Our bodies can't take much more of this, as I think these are excellent markers. Sperm count going down so far. I remember we were talking, I think it was Dr. Deckel, was telling us that very soon the sperm would be so low that to actually start a pregnancy, men were going to have to collect sperm from several ejaculations and do an in vitro or artificial insemination to actually father a child. One ejaculation will not have enough sperm to be effective. It's shocking.
So where do we begin? I told you this was bad news, and we're right in the middle of the bad news. Now we're going into the good news. Yes, this is something that is adjustable. It's adjustable by ourselves. It's adjustable working with our families. And it's adjustable within our lifestyle. So let's look at how we can begin to adjust this. And I for one, would begin with a very powerful detox. Now, a detox isn't always just starter. Different kinds of detox that can solve fat and reduce top. There's the detox, the Vedic detox. Herbs that people drink is correct. And in drinking these, what is happening is it begins to go in and dissolve toxins, draw them out. Lipoic acid is one piece of that, but you can get lipoic acid through cilantro. So you do cilantro, you do curcumin or turmeric. You make drinks, and you drink those throughout the day while you're cleansing yourself. And you give yourself a period of time. And what happens is you start drawing these poisons out of your body. And as well as you start changing your household. And you start dumping, literally dumping foods that aren't organic. So, and during that time, you're getting good sleep. Because again, where do we build up our testosterone? It's we our bodies have what they call diurnal rhythms. And at different times of the day and through different activity, we build up different parts of our body. And through sleep, we build up our immune cells. We build up our growth hormone, which also builds up our testosterone. That's why testosterone is at its highest point in the day when we wake up in the morning. Why? Because we've been building it all night. What about those people who don't sleep? What do you think, Carol?
their testosterone is unfortunately tanking, so getting good sleep. But getting good sleep also depends on how you're treating your body, how much you're exposing your body to good foods, to an environment that isn't stressing you to the max, so all you can do is have your mind race all night. All these things play a role. I'd like to jump over into one of the things. We've been talking a lot about zinc during these infectious times, and zinc, as it's turning out, is an essential element to help our immune system. It also is involved in testosterone metabolism. Testosterone in the event that zinc is low,
exactly,
will aromatize to more and more estrogen. And how do you know this is happening? All you have to do is visually look at the men in your life. If they are getting pudgy, if they're having breast development, this person has too much estrogen on board. Now we have, so it's kind of a double whammy. You talked about insecticides, pesticides, plastics, all these things that are intoxifying us all have estrogen-like activity. So we actually, when you see that body type, we can be looking at the total of some of those accumulations of those chemicals, but we can also be looking at low zinc. And zinc supplementation is essential. So I like how in some places you can read how good oysters are for sexual interests and performance. Well, what's in there that may be doing that? It's zinc. Zinc is very generous in oysters. So it's not more than just a folk tale.
Now, there's something that you always repeat, Carol. Ad nauseum. No.
Yep.
You always repeat this, and this is an important piece to add here right now, is I've checked zinc levels on some of my patients, and they're low.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, how could it be? I've been taking zinc all year since you talked about it and the importance in immune health. So what is happening is they're not absorbing very well, or it's not getting into the cell very well. But that's where you very directly explained how we can get zinc into our cells more effectively with what they call ionophores. And what are those ionophores? It can be quercetin. It can be green tea. What else, Carol?
Any polyphenol also has that activity. And interesting enough, just about everything that has come to the attention for treating people in this last year, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, colchicine popped up not too long ago. Every single one of those things I've looked up, and they all assist zinc getting inside your cell. Isn't that a marvel? But we don't have to turn to the drugs. We have the natural world that will help us too. Like I said, polyphenols, any kind of, and the polyphenols, they tend to be the colored stuff, the highly colored vegetables.
You would find polyphenols in curcumin, in turmeric.
Yes, yes.
You would find polyphenols in beets, absolutely wonderful beet juice. You will find polyphenols in all these fresh vegetables. We're just picking right now. We're right now picking greens from the garden, and every day we're eating salads right from the garden that are so dense in flavor, they're spicy. And
yeah,
absolutely delicious. Whereas when you buy it from the store, they're bland, tasteless. These are spicy and strong. But what did I do? I saturated my soil with seaweed all winter long, and it just dissolved into the soil. So I know I'm getting the iodine I need. But also another piece of this, again, we're talking about hormones and building hormones, and particularly we're focusing right now on the crisis in testosterone and sperm count. We really have to look at magnesium, because magnesium allows circulation throughout the body, and it becomes a base that our body uses in over 300 different reactions to maintain and create health. So we have to look at magnesium. We have to look at zinc. Now, we know that there's a deficiency of magnesium. And zinc, they don't talk about the deficiency in zinc, but zinc has its response, its dramatic response, if it's low. So we want to take zinc, and we want to take the supporting foods or supplements or teas that help us get it into our cells. Also, when we're talking about sperm, we've got to look at a couple of things. We've got to look at vitamin D. Do you know that there's vitamin D receptors on sperm?
Everywhere in your body. So, but it's good that we focus in on this one.
Exactly. Exactly. And we want to understand that vitamin D is essential for correct formation of the sperm cell, as well as vitamin K. And that, now, I never knew that. I just learned that from Dr. Plotnikoff. And he was explaining how K is essential for fertility in males and females. And that we're not, although we might be eating greens, we might not be getting enough K because our bodies can't make it because the pesticides, specifically Roundup, block the pathway for our bodies to convert and make K and absorb it.
That's another one that's provided by our microbiome. The things like glyphosate destroy our microbiome. They developed that and thought, oh, the human body doesn't have this shikimate pathway, which is involved in the glyphosate. Only insects do. So we're perfectly fine when humans get it. But the developers completely forgot about the microbes, which really make up 90% of us. And they do. So they are highly affected by glyphosate. And there goes your vitamin K, because normally we get some from the diet, but we're also assisted by our friendly microbes. So it's a serious situation. So it helps to supplement this a bit right now. And it's also essential when you're taking vitamin D. Vitamin K is responsible for shuttling around calcium to go where it needs to go. That means like stored in your bones and not stored in breast tissue or stored in your feet as calcifications or in your joints. That points out to a deficiency in vitamin K. And for women, I like this too. We never thought about it too much. Like, what's the explanation for the heavy clotting during some menstrual cycles? It's actually a deficiency in vitamin K and can be corrected. So it's a kind of a red flag. Bring on the K. We need a little bit more. It's a good symptom to keep an eye on.
And then to add with that, let's add another one of our favorites. We love boron.
Oh, yeah.
And boron is very important in terms of hormonal balance. You think of boron when, at least for years, when I thought of boron, I thought of estrogenic. But that's not exactly accurate. It's a balancer. And you can get, and it also works in the body to free the hormones so they're usable. There's a thing that we have, it's called sex hormone binding globulin. It's an important storage space. So there can be people that come into my office, I measure their hormone, it's adequate. But yet their symptoms are that of someone who's deficient. So I look a little deeper and I look at sex hormone binding globulin. And what I find is that, yes, they have enough hormone, but it's up. And it's not available to them to be utilized. It's there as a storage molecule, if that, but it's bound too tightly. And that's what boron can do. Iodine also works together to help loosen those bonds so that when we need them or as we need them, our body can utilize the hormone that it's making.
The herb nettles also,
oh, yes,
very good for that. So just to throw that in.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we talk about DHEA?
Oh, that's where I wanted to go next. It's one of my favorites. I love it.
So DHEA is the most abundant steroidal hormone it makes. It's made adrenal glands. It's at its maximum in our younger years and drops off pretty much aging. And DHEA can stay DHEA, but it can also convert further into estrogen and testosterone. And that's pretty dependent on the individual's body, but it can be used for example, it can be used for menopausal treatment. Instead of going directly to an estrogen, testosterone, you can use DHEA and maybe add some progesterone. I think that this makes a lot of sense when people are symptomatic at menopause. They're really in adrenals, because at that point in our life, we're dependent on what our adrenals can do. So progesterone is also made by the adrenal gland, ATA, and progesterone used. But the same applies to men. We don't just pause, but as they're experiencing these symptoms of less testosterone and less vitality, ATA in its precursor function, very supportive adrenal hormone, can be a lifesaver.
What we find, what I like to do when giving DHEA in attendance hormones in males, I like to look at the PSA because I want to make sure not coming test or having any effect on the prostate or any relationship of prostate, which I have seen. It's rare, but I have seen it. So I give 25 to 50 milligrams, 50 milligrams or twice in males. 25 to 25 females. If someone, now people with lupus or sclera, have up to 100 milligrams of DHEA.
There was a drug in development with 200 milligrams of DHEA for lupus, intended for lupus.
Exactly. What they have found, when you look at a pediatric population, and they have good immune systems and response, you know, questions, and their minds are clearer, they have higher DHEA levels. Those people who are struggling through their aging process, and it's known to through your aging process. Now, there is a little bit of a caveat here that DHEA is, if you're in competitive sports, it's one of those over-the-counters. And so you want to be aware if you're in competitive sports and be aware of what the requirements or limitations are in taking DHEA.
I thought it may be helpful, but people who are curious about the thing often put on is their weighting protein to help increase muscles and muscle strength. So commonly you can find it, and now this is one of the foundational things.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Uh-huh.
How about you, Sid?
No, I really haven't. I haven't. Yeah. I don't really think drinks, per se.
Yeah, either. I wanted to, let's just go for some material in the field. And this is what he brings up in markets, receptive for sexual dysfunction in general. And it's drinking as a tea in Latin America, South America, popular, and also improves your mood and stamina and all of that. But taking Prozac, any other drugs that carry, they can experience sexual dysfunction. And this is one of the few things I've ever seen that can help treat dysfunction. So this is a big, big problem. There's not very many people offering solutions in arena, so I'd like to put that out there.
You know, put this out there.
Okay.
we're willing our loss of sexuality. We're treating our loss actually for this almost dreamlike state of antidepression, and they call lack of sexuality a side effect. Well, first of all, it is the effect of stress. So when you're into these drugs, it's the important your trade-off. Fortunately, there can assist, but in terms of these drugs, you're trading sex life for kind of euphoria, almost an inability to agree. In any case, have balanced hormones can help you interact with the life on a much more need emotionally. I find it a little addictive when they say, you've lost sex drive. Well, that is a side effect. It's the effect. It is one of antidepressants. Willing that, and you really can't utilize these drugs.
That's absolutely correct, and it's so sad to think a solution in a pill somewhere. We've been growing at your problem instead of dealing with problem with your own. And what you said before was so important about testosterone. If your testosterone's low, you find yourself with the means to address stuff. You're not mentally sharp. You're not you're not excited about living, you're not excited about projects and solving problems. All of that has to do with testosterone. So you take a low situation to start out with and add a drug to make it not illusion.
Oh, my goodness. What matters to hormone? Not exactly. And that's one of the reasons why we trivialize. There's testosterone receptors on every cell in your brain. There's testosterone receptors in your brain that make you sharper. Testosterone receptors in your muscle that make you stronger. There's testosterone receptors throughout your body. I don't need to name, but every organ, every single body is the old sex hormone. And these help every part of your body function efficiently better. But let's talk another supportive nutrients, food that we could eat. That a little bit, and I'll explain how. What about cocoa? It's called cocoa. And it's literally, and what it is, it's the base of chocolate. It's bitter. In Central America, I use it, grind it up first morning with some corn, tea corn. We used to have a little stalk, grind fresh, and we'd reporter making coffee, and then we'd make together and would drink it. And, oh, I forgot the ingredient. Honey, a piece of dark sugar. It's like a dry molasses. So what is that? Exactly. It's high in zinc. It's got iron in it. It's absolutely wonderful. And mix it to drink. But you could explain to us how it affect our circulation?
Well, this is nitric oxide. And we had a discussion about NO here with Dr. Chris Melitis. Nitric oxide is a transient molecule with the relaxation of all your blood vessels. And one of the things is a problem with good erections. The circulation through the penis is impaired. So it can be partially a problem, low nitric oxide. Some of the other things we mentioned earlier, like beet and arugula from garden, are rich nitric oxide producer. So you don't have to take a mint. You can do this with food. And here's another also does the very, very same.
What
mechanism of action, I just wanted to say, is what the drugs Viagra and Cialis depend upon, but natural substances, like we've been talking about, do a much better job. And it's essential for our good body function throughout. If we don't have good circulation through the whole body, we're sort of dying by a little bit. So activity in our body is leaving our bodies, and we literally drivel. Then there's so many people with blood pressure, which can be caused by low nitric oxide. I say this is the only mechanism, but it can be an important mechanism for people to look at rather than, again, rely on a drug to lower your blood pressure. Wouldn't it be a better idea to source of the problem and work on supporting how body is supposed to work rather than
Dr. Bickman, who we interviewed quite recently, very directly says that the base of hypertension is elevated insulin. Mm-hmm. He said it is the base. That's where it's created. And people that are overlooking the elevated insulin are also overlooking the cause, trying to go to suppression of the symptom. But when you have elevated insulin, you can cortisol and insulin go together. But also,
elevated cortisol.
Elevated cortisol and elevated insulin go together. But also, insulin is like not taking an insulin test is like not looking behind the door of where the odor is coming from. You're trying to clean the room, clean the room, clean the room, and you're not looking behind the door. Insulin is the base of so many of the problems that we experience, from depression to hypertension to cardiovascular disease. And it's the base that will give us an eye to the problem 10, 15 years before the symptom exhibits itself. And so we should, when we go in for a blood test, we ask the doctor, please, I want an insulin test. He says, well, why? You don't have elevated blood. You say, yeah, and I want to see why. I want to understand because I'm trying to create a body balance. Oh, 20 years, Dr. Ali, all these blood tests are, you know, secondary is insulin. Always get a test when you get a blood test so we can track you in a healthier. But you know what? There's some really, really famous herbs that have been known and have used for, you know, forever. Males and females looking for sexual intimacy. And you don't really need to go to the drugs. Talk to the list. I'll tell you what works. You don't really need to go to the drugs. So where we started, Carol? Well, we started with maca. Maca, very. But next we would go to...
Well, it's Ali. They think Ericoma longifolia.
That's why I hesitated. I didn't want to pronounce it wrong.
It's one of the essential ingredients. But I have a theory, and I don't know that it holds up all the time, but my theory is that many of the things in the plant world have a steroidal-like ingredient, like cholesterol, like our sex hormones and vitamin D and bile in the human body, that the plant world has a good number of these. And I just looked up that Ericoma longifolia, and sure enough, it has that very characteristic four-ring structure of all the hormones we have. Isn't that interesting?
A steroid precursor, just natural steroid precursor. So when you look...
It just happens to be there.
Uh-huh. Now, it just happens to be there. Now, what you really want to do is, you know, there are all these... herbs in Walmart or in, you know, the pharmacies. But okay. Most of them are just junk. They're weak herbs. They've mixed it with caffeine. They're hard on the heart. A high amount of caffeine. Most of them are just junk. If you're really going to look to the herbal world, you really have to look to your source and the purity of the source. Otherwise, you're not going to get the effect that you're really seeking. And what you're not just seeking symptom resolution. You're seeking a level of health also. But Carol, you have something you wanted to talk about.
Well, I just happened to come across this stuff, and I was surprised in part, but not surprised in part. And it was that red light can increase testosterone levels.
Huh.
And I go, holy cow. what was your
I'm going to put a piece of plastic over my over my light bulbs. Red.
Yeah. So you need red. Red's the important color, and it actually helps your red blood cells not clump to each other. It helps oxygenation in your body, but there are several studies where it shows testosterone levels are increased, sperm levels are increased when men shine a red light on their testes for a few minutes every day. So how exciting is that? And now I was just at a conference, I found a cool little deal. I can put a red light on my pulse.
Oh, I've seen that before.
Like a watch. So I have a little easy thing to travel, so I can do a little red LED light anytime I want. And traditionally, this has been used for pain, not surprisingly. Mm-hmm. But this is another use, and there are these gadgets. The same company said they made a gadget specifically to use with the testes, which surprised me no end. I think I'm a latecomer to this idea. So I'm spreading the word as well as I can. How fascinating that laser or red light will increase testosterone. So I think that's a handy little tool. And it's easy to find those red LEDs and not very expensive.
Now, I'd like to talk about exercise. We're getting close, and there's a bunch of areas we get so involved. There's a bunch of areas we haven't touched. Chronic cardio, staying in the gym for hours and hours to build up your muscle, that lowers the testosterone. It's too much on the body. It puts too much stress on the body. But what surges the testosterone is sprinting, fast, hard motion for a period of time, literally sprinting, and then stop and rest, let your body regenerate, and then again, a sprint. And it's a timed sprint, and you will get more benefit, hormonal benefit, out of that type of exercise than being on a treadmill for 2 hours working. And we all know that exercise can stimulate hormones, but it has to be the right type of exercise. You don't want to tear yourself down. Now, there's two other things that you're only going to find in the office, but we know they work. And one is specifically is stem cells can be very effective for building up your hormone level and supporting your hormone level. And that's by injection. The oral stem cells that they have on the internet, they're just not going to get past the stomach acid, no matter what they say. You're not really going to be able to measure them and get a physiologic effect by taking them. The only effect you're going to get is you're going to get lightened in your pocketbook. But by injection, we have seen, and it's measurable, that there are differences. There's stabilizing differences. But then there's something else. It's called the P-shot, or platelet-rich plasma, where you take your own blood, you spin it down, and then you inject it into areas. You can inject it into the penis. And what happens is it increases circulation into the penile area, and the skin becomes more sensitive. I've had a doctor who said, oh, well, I don't need this shot. This is, I'm totally effective. And another doctor talked with him, and he had it, and he said, wow, what a difference. So the P shot can be very effective in terms of circulation. But they also have a sound wave. And this sound wave it's not an expensive therapy, but it's unique, and it's found only, is put around the penis, and it breaks up any kind of blockage that there might be in the veins and arteries, and it increases circulation to the penis. And it has been shown to be very effective and for erections as well as circulation to the periphery. You really want to look at a couple of things. You want to look at your thyroid function, because if your thyroid is low, you know, the range in thyroid, Carol, is like the range in testosterone. You know, it's 0.9 to, now they've brought it down to 4.5. If you're 4.5, I can guarantee you, you're not feeling your best. You're not feeling peppy, but you're normal. You're not feeling peppy. You're not feeling sexual. You're not feeling like you want to get out and go take a walk in the sun. You just don't feel your best. Mm-hmm. But if you're 0.95, which is the lower, or 0.4, which is the lowest range of normal, you're going to feel better. You're going to feel more energized. Your circulation's going to be better. You're going to have less body pain. You're going to have more mental focus. And you might not be able to measure it in testosterone levels, but you'll be able to measure it in life activity and your sense of go-get-em-ness. So let's just do a quick recap. Detox. Really work with your body on a carefully planned and focused cleansing that draws poisons out of the body, and we all should be doing it. And number two, eat organic and eat as broad as we can, not prepared foods, as much as we can. Eat our vegetables, eat our nutrients. We believe in proteins. We believe eat grass-fed meats. Just yesterday, a neighbor went fishing, just brought us some fresh fish right off Long Island from 20 miles out. So what gets better than that? So you want to really focus on your ability to eat well. Oh my goodness. If you can go to the farmer's market and get fresh vegetables, go for it. Most of us can now.
That's right. And don't forget the beets and the arugula and the cocoa, especially oysters for zinc.
Oh, well, you could go just dig them up here.
Mm-hmm.
And go clamming or go fishing. So that's pretty much the end of the show, Carol. I think it was fun. I enjoyed it.
This is fun. And I'm going to put some articles on our Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol, and you'll have some links you can follow for much more information. But please also comment and give us questions, opinions, resources that you'd like us to explore for you. We're open to keeping the dialogue going. We mentioned during the show several people we've interviewed in the past. Please look on the archives. They're on my Facebook. They're archived on my
website.
Yeah, which is the wellnessbydesignproject.com. Look for all our full-length interviews to be archived there, as well as on prn.fm.
Thank you for spending this hour with us, and we're hoping and planning that with the information we share with you, you get healthier and you help your family become aware of health and vibrance. Thank you. Bye, Carol. It's always a pleasure. I always learn.
Me too. Bye.
Bye-bye. So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPACCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is FornariHealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Their website is Redding Left Hook. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.